Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Strap Radio Show, the place where community issues are discussed, confronted, and political agendas are exposed. Feel free, whether you're live or whether you're watching at a later date, to reach out, communicate, get involved. That's what we're here for. We encourage it and we love it. So without any further ado, here's your host for the evening, Miss Nancy Pless.
Good evening, Strap Chat Radio listeners. It is good to be back on this evening. We've been out for a little bit, but we are back now. And thank you for joining me on this evening. I won't delay too much, but tonight we are going to be collaborating with a reoccurring guest that has been on here before, Brother Robert Maroney. Some of you may remember him from the Hebraic community that he is a part of called the Yo Community. So I'm going to bring this brother on the line, but as I bring him on, the topic for this evening is we're going to be talking about how we can keep our youth better protected even in or within our faith-based communities. And as I said, Brother Robert is a part of the Yo community here in Texas. In what area is it, Brother Robert?
It's in Cedar Hill, Texas.
Okay, located in Cedar Hill, Texas. Good, good. So thank you for being willing to come on to the show again. I appreciate you being on with us today. So how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, sis?
I am doing well, sir. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you. So without any delay, the question at hand, Brother Robert, is how can we help to keep our youth better protected within our faith-based communities?
Well, first, I believe that we have to educate them first,
mm-hmm.
along with us being educated. And
mm-hmm.
We also have to be involved in whatever activities they're in, whether it be school, whether it be their friends, or you know, whatever extracurricular activities that they're in, we have to be involved. Because if you're not, you leave them open to who or whatever adult that is over those activities. I mean, we have kids now that are in Boy Scouts that are getting molested. We have young girls that are in gymnastics that are getting molested. So, and these are activities where you go and you drop your own kid off and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not involved in whatever the kids are doing and you don't get to know the person personally who was there or even do a background on them, anything could happen to your kids. So one, you have to educate yourself, educate your kids, and be involved in what your children need.
Okay. And I do agree with that, being involved in what they are currently involved in, because a lot of parents they're just so trusting of whatever organization their child is involved in. So, and you mentioned the Boy Scouts and whatnot, and for many of you that follow Strap Chat Radio, on our Facebook page, you'll see that there are a lot of postings on there. And on the postings, they cover the different areas that sex trafficking is taking place. And so, again, Brother Robert, the area that I really, really want us to focus on this evening is even within our faith-based communities, and I'm asking this because I have even posted articles where some of our youth, even in the church, have experienced molestation, being taken advantage
right.
of, you know. And so
right.
I just wanted to kind of like pick your brain on that. What is your, you know, what do you think about that? How do we keep our youth in the church protected?
Once again, is being involved. Too many times,
mm-hmm.
so many times, you know, parents, they'll drop their children off the church And that's it.
Right.
They'll come back and pick them up. Or there may be some things that's going on at home that someone else within the that's within the faith-based organization that are able to pick things out. They're able to pick out children that have situations going on because they're predators. That's what they do. They know what to look for. And then when they find that one, they get that one to trust them, and then they start giving them what they're looking for, whether it be trust or whether it be love or whatever it is. And once again, the parents have to be involved, even in the church, in the faith-based community, because if not, anything could happen. We see it on the news all the time.
And again, you are absolutely right, because we have heard, and even in the article or two that I have posted, even in the schools, the teachers. So no matter where the teacher is teaching, you still need to know what's going on with that teacher. You still need to know something about now. But now, and I'm asking this because I'm sure you've had some exposure. When you're in church, because it is a, you know, Christian atmosphere, do you or have you found that Christians are just so trusting that they never ask questions?
It's not about trusting. Some of them are just ignorant to the fact.
Okay.
What was that? You know,
okay.
I mean, if the parent is non-active in church or in the Christian in the Christian community, if they're non-active but they're dropping their kids off, they're just ignorant. It's not about trusting because they don't know who they don't go in to see who they can trust. They're just dropping off and just saying, "Well, it's gonna all be all right." No.
But wouldn't you say that's a form of trust? Because if they're dropping them off and saying, "Oh, well, you know, they're going to be okay," there has to be some form of trust there for them to even take that type of a perspective or attitude about, "Hey, I'm dropping my kids off at church; they're going to be okay."
Yeah, there's a form of trust, but it's mostly ignorance. I don't care. I'm not going to just drop my kid off anywhere and not go in and check out the situation. You know, that's like when I was raising my son. I went to his football practice. I went to his track practices. I watched his coaches. I conversated with his coaches, his friends. I talked with his friends. I met their parents. There wasn't anyone within his life, unless he kept it a secret from me, that I didn't know about. Okay, so if there's someone that you don't know about and you are trusting them and you've never met them, that's ignorant. You're choosing to be ignorant to that fact.
Okay.
You know, you don't trust someone that you don't know. I don't care what office or title that they're holding.
Okay. So basically, it or can I say it's safe to say that there are a lot of parents that are ignorant to when it comes to sex trafficking. A lot of parents are ignorant of what it even looks like, how to recognize it. So with that being said, a parent that drops their child off at church and says, "Okay, well, they're going to be okay," how do we make the parent aware if they're just dropping the child off? Because 9 times out of 10, the child is not going to tell them. So how do we get the message to the parents?
One, you have to pay attention to their kid. Because if something's happening, your child is going to start acting different. They're going to start pulling away from you. They're going to start being secluding themselves. There's going to be a change somewhere within their behavior. And if you're not paying attention to that, once again, now you're being ignorant towards your child.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not paying attention to your child.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they're just existing in your life and not being a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of children that's out there that's in that situation.
That is very true. That is very true. Okay, so again, parent of the same scenario you just mentioned, but they are thinking, oh, they're just being typical teenagers. You know, they're going through that phase. Because I've heard that. And so that's the reason why I'm bringing it up.
And once again, when my son started going through his little, his hormone stage
phases,
or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I sat him down and talked to him. And asked him, was everything okay? You know, I went through those stages. Okay?
Okay.
And so there are things that you know that are normal about your kid. There are things that you know that your kids will do and will not do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a relationship with the child,
mm-hmm.
and you don't notice a drastic change in personality, character, dress, energy, then you're not paying attention to your child.
Okay. Okay. And for the record, I'm going to make a plug in right here. For those of you that are online, that are listening, I know Brother Robert, and I also work with him. I know that this man here is passionate about his children, and I'm saying that because I know he has a son and a daughter, and so I know that he is passionate about his kids, and he's very much involved in what goes on, because he has, you know, spoken to me on several different occasions about his son when he was growing up and how he, you know, handled different things when he was in school. So I agree with what Brother Robert is saying. And so what I want to address in this is the parents that drop their kids off to church, they don't bother just try to speak to anybody at the door. They don't bother trying to come in and see what's going on, where their child is actually going to be or what have you. Then they pretty much have to go off of whatever their child tells them, which isn't good, because you can drop a child off, you drive off, how do you know they didn't walk off? So for any parents that are on the line that do what Brother Robert is mentioning, it's time to make a change. And the reason for this show, STRAP stands for Sex Trafficking Raising Awareness and Prevention. How do you prevent your child from stepping over into a trafficking situation? It's just as he has said, you have to get involved. You have to be in the know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And you mentioned that I have a daughter now, and that's a new area for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can't even sit back and even think about anything happening to her. Because and I really don't like to even talk about it because it gets me emotional. So
mm-hmm.
when I say emotional, it gets me like to the point of, man, if anything should ever happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you already know.
Right.
So
yes, sir, I do.
But but like I said, this is a whole new thing for me again.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting,
mm-hmm.
and there's still things that I'm still learning about her. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I conversate with her. I interact with her, you know, and I try to, I'm trying to get to know her better than what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's a change that comes along, I'm going to notice.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad that you mentioned about your daughter. So for anyone else on the line, this arena, this new arena of parenting, if you're in the same situation, the rule still applies. Educate yourself so that you can educate your child or your children. You have to be in the know. You have to. And so I know we cannot control what goes on inside of a church, inside of a faith-based community. I know we cannot control that. But would you say making a suggestion about teaching our youth while they are in their youthful settings at church, teaching them and educating them about sex trafficking and the predators, because the predators are no longer afraid to be in the church and prey upon their victims. They don't even care anymore.
Exactly. Actually, the two places where your child is supposed to be the, well, the three is the church, the school, and your home.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And all three of those places are becoming unsafe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So
I do agree with that.
In those other two places besides your home, just your presence makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
You know, if they know that this child has an active parent, that this parent is going to show up or pop up at any time, this parent is going to come in and ask questions, 9 times out of 10, your child is going to be safe. Because what they look for, they look for kids where their parents aren't that active. They look for kids where their parents give them a whole lot of freedom to come and go when they want without any questions asked.
True.
See, that's what predators look for. They look for kids that have low self-esteem that actually try to get away from home because of the stuff that's going on inside the home.
Correct. Correct. You know, I'm gonna share something that I posted this week, or it may have been last week, on my page from the sex trafficking page, because I posted this because I really wanted people to be aware. One of the tactics of a predator is he can see a group of girls standing together. He'll walk over to those girls and he'll say, "You girls are beautiful." And what he is looking for in that moment is the one that will look down with insecurity and say, "No, I'm not." And that is the one that he targets.
Exactly.
And in this particular post, I actually put on there that he is not looking for the one that is confident in herself. He's not looking for her. I also posted that our Texas State Attorney General's office, on their website, they have the statistics, the numbers to let you know how many of our youth are being trafficked at any given time. And you would be surprised to know what that number is. When I saw it, I was in shock. It was almost 80,000, almost, that are trafficked at any given moment. At any given moment. That's not good.
No, it's not.
And we have a lot of our parents that they'll say, oh, you know, that'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to my child. Really? And I posted this. I can guarantee you that the parents or the parent whose daughter got caught up in sex trafficking once said the same thing.
More than likely.
Now what? More than likely. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of parents are so loose at watching their girls. And I've said this before. It's not just the girls that are being trafficked, but the boys are too. It's just that we hear more about the girls.
Right.
Our boys are being violated. They're being molested. They're being taken advantage of. They sure are. But we hear more about our girls.
On a
regular. Why? Because on a regular. Why? Because you can put those girls in any arena, any setting, and they can blend in, and they will not look like they are sex trafficking, not today the way they used to look back in the day, because back in the day they dressed a particular way. That's how you knew they were a hoe. That's how you knew they were trafficking. That's how you knew they were prostitutes. But they don't dress like that today. And a lot of our girls are coerced into it. How about a lot of them are also being bribed? I also posted this. And for those of you that don't follow me on Facebook, I'm going to give you the Facebook page identification. And you send a friend request, I'll accept it, because you need to be in the know. Because even if you don't think that this is for you, you know what? This information could be for somebody else, and you could help save somebody else's child's life. So even if you think it's not for you, the information itself needs to be passed on. So one of the ways that our girls are lured into, and something that the parents need to pay attention to as well, Brother Robert has already hit on some of these areas. These young ladies are offered romance, love, acceptance, and they jump at it because they're not getting it at home. They're offered cash, luxury items, a place to stay. And you know, a lot of the teens that run away is because they're tired of being told what they can and cannot do in their parents' house. Now, of course, you know, the kids weren't brought up, not being brought up today like we were being brought up. Because if you so much as look side-eyed, you was getting up off the floor. So it's not like that today. A child can take a family to court and divorce them or however. It's foolishness, but it's not like it was when we were growing up. And so these are just some of the lures. Uh-huh.
No, I was going to say, no, not by a long shot. Not by a long shot.
No, sir. If it was a fleeing thought.
Back when we were coming up, it hurts to say this. A lot of the violations was coming from within the family.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
Because that's who we hung around. We were more family oriented then. And you know, as time went on, we stopped being family oriented and allowing our kids just to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like once again, we don't sit around the dinner table like we used to. We don't have family functions like we used to. So now, the predator has moved from mostly in within the family to outside of the family into the world.
Correct. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And because
so
we do not sit.
You know, it's not like it has stopped. It's not like it stopped. It just changed venues.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and once again, it goes on to Are you paying attention to your children? You know, are you just letting them hang with anyone? You know, you know, because you know, back then when we were coming up, if it was found out that it was a family member that was abusing a child, there were some things that would happen. And if it was ever found out, and then, you know, that family member would be like, don't let your kids go around that one. You know, because such and such and such. But now, since it's outside of the home mostly now, it's just like when the child is found out, they try to mark it. They try to put a block or a mark on the person or the area where it's happening. But you do have these other organizations that that have the funds not to get their personnel prosecuted, but move them to another venue.
Okay. Okay.
You know, or it gets swept under the rug, or
true.
The people still standing behind the person that is accused or found guilty of. So it's not only the fault of the parent when they're so disconnected from their child that they don't see it. It's also the fault of a society or the people that are within the organization I don't believe that person did that, or we can just move them to this other place here, or well, we're just gonna pray and forgive. I'm sorry. could have been one of my children. Simple as that. I'm just being honest. Couldn't have been one of my kids.
I chuckled because I know that when I was living in Atlanta prior to moving here, I used to hear that a lot. You know, oh, we just gonna pray about it. We're gonna give it to the Lord, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that. But what about whatsoever thou doest? So what can you do so that this doesn't happen again? You have to become educated. You can't keep turning your head and looking the other way as if it doesn't exist, because it does exist. It's happening every day, all throughout the day. A lot of teens run away from home. And when they run away, oh, you can believe the predators can smell them a mile away. And some of the young ladies that I mentor that's incarcerated, some of them that were involved in sex trafficking, brace yourself. They did not come from the hood or from poverty. They come from well-to-do families. So the stigma that is only happening where the poor folks are or is happening in the hood, that's not 100, as they say.
Well, can I interject on that?
Yes, sir.
Can I interject on that?
Go ahead.
What you find in well-to-do families, and this I'm not saying all of them, okay?
Right.
You find freedom. You find freedom, and you find neglect.
Okay.
Those young men have so much freedom because mom and dad are too busy doing something else.
Okay.
You know, and they're like, okay, what are you going to do? Just go. I got to do this. And it's also neglect. Because now you're not paying attention to your child and you're giving them too much freedom because now the only thing you want them to do is, to go somewhere or to do something, do something else besides be in your space because you're working or you're entertaining. And so that gives them that freedom of, okay, well, you know what? Since you're doing that, I'm going over such and such house. They're like, okay, just call us when you get there or whatever you do, you know, whatever. They're not monitoring where their children are going. Once again, when I was raising my son, I gave him his first cell phone. I said, "Will you call me when you get there? Call me when you leave. You know, call me if you should leave there and go somewhere else, then you call me again."
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was a lot of monitoring on my part. I had to. There was too much going on.
Yeah.
And once again, when we start talking about well-to-do families, there's not a whole lot of monitoring. There's not a whole lot of attention.
True.
And so
because
they are
involved in other things.
Right. Their parents are involved in, you know, like, I'm going to use myself as an example.
Okay.
I grew up in a part of Aurora that was pretty much well-to-do, upper middle class and upper class. And
okay.
A lot of those kids' parents, they go on vacation for a week, and them kids will be home by themselves. You know, a lot of house parties I went to, parents been out, you know, left on Wednesday and not going to come back until Tuesday.
Wow.
So there was no supervision.
So in a setting like that, so my question to you is, in a setting like that, is it easy for most of the young ladies to get involved in sex trafficking or be coerced into sex trafficking?
Very much so, because if there are no adults there, believe me, no, word is going to get out. Oh, there's going to be this party here. You know, parents ain't at home, and if a predator has his ear on, he's going to hear that, and he's going to show up. He's not just going to show up. He's going to show up with what they are looking for. I got the drugs. I got the drink. I got this. I have that. And he's going to bring it in.
So in a case like that, how can awareness be brought? And I'm asking because you're a parent. I am not. So I am not that just because I'm not a parent doesn't mean that I don't care about other people's children, because I do. And again, being a youth mentor, I care. Let me put it that way, because I was going to say you can't do that and not care, but no, there are a lot of people that do it and don't care. It's a job to many. But in a case like that, how would you handle that?
Well, if I was a parent, I wouldn't be leaving my kid at home for a week by themselves.
And that right there, for me, is a no-brainer that I do know.
You know,
but
yeah.
What if
you know, two,
it was a friend of your child?
Well, one, my child wouldn't be there if I knew that the parents were not going to be there, and that's the point.
I agree with that.
That's why I say that's why I said my son. I knew his friends and I knew his parents. I knew their parents. Well, of their parents, I met their parents somewhere along the way. You know, if he was going to a party, where are you going? Whose house is it? Are their parents going to be there? Those are questions that need to be asked. And then even if they go, and if you know, hey, don't be scared just to pop up. I mean, when I say pop up, I'm not saying go in and embarrass your kid. If you just have to drive by and take a look and see what's going on the outside, if you see what's going on the outside, that's what's going to tell you what's going on the inside.
Okay. Okay. So would you say that by doing the drive-by, as you mentioned, is that a way of protecting the kids, you know, protecting our youth? If you're riding by, because it's a situation that you are aware of. So if you're riding by there, and of course, if you see something out of the norm, you feel obligated to address it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my duty, because it's not just my kid in there. It's other people's kids in there.
Okay. Okay. And you know, and I'm asking these questions because I know everybody feels that way.
Exactly. You know,
it's thought-provoking.
The crazy thing is that the neighbors don't say anything.
No, they don't.
I mean, how can you be a neighbor and you know that your next door neighbors are going out of town, the kids are there, and then all of a sudden you see a big party going on? You're not going to say anything? You're not going to intervene?
I understand perfectly what you're saying, and on purpose, I'm letting you respond because you're not just speaking to me. You're also speaking to the other parents that are listening, because even if they are not in the situation of the scenario that we're talking about, it doesn't mean that they don't know someone that may be. And to sit by idly, know something is going on or could potentially go on that could endanger our youth and not do anything about it, how does that make that person any better than the one that's actually allowing it to happen? Because as a parent, as an individual, I believe that we are supposed to protect our youth. There's too much going on in the world today. When I was a school bus driver, I showed much concern for my youth. They didn't just get off the bus and go to anybody. If there are parent that was there when they got dropped off that morning, wasn't there when they got off the bus that afternoon? No. I needed to know who this person is. I need you to call mama or whatever the case may be. Or mama needs to send me a note to let me know that so-and-so is picking you up from the bus stop. Get involved. That's really all that is being said. Get involved so you'll know what is going on in a youth life, and it don't necessarily have to be your child.
Well, you know, when we were coming up, we had this saying: "It takes a village to raise a child."
I was gonna touch on that. Go ahead.
Okay, now there is no village. Everyone is like, you take care of yours, I take care of mine. You know, and I don't want to get involved. It's not my business. So we as a people have gotten out of what kept us together.
Mm-hmm. And that's looking out for one another. You are right.
You know, I mean, I can remember growing up and it didn't happen to me, but I know that if one of my neighbors caught me acting up somewhere, I was going to get my tail toe into there and what I am when I got home.
Yep. It was that way when I was coming up. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we've gotten away from the village concept.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to touch on that as well. I'm sure everyone on the line has seen or heard the case involving the little three-year-old girl, Cupcake. And there was something that was said about the village that I totally agree with. They say it takes a village to raise these children, but you got to pay attention to the village.
Because exactly.
Everybody in the village may not be legit. And that is the reason for this show this evening. because every faith-based community is known as a village. That's one of the number one places that that quote is made, and that's in the church.
Well, at this point now, I can truly say that that saying is not true in there anymore. And I can say that because that's where a lot of the, even as of today, that's where a lot of the abuse is happening.
Okay.
So,
okay.
The village concept in the church, it's not happening anymore.
Okay. I mean, and if it is or isn't, that I really cannot say is an absolute. I cannot. And so all I know is the churches that I have been involved in, I have heard that saying that it takes a village. And there is some accuracy to that. But again, it goes back to, but now you got to know the village. You have to know the village.
And that's the main thing. What I was saying is that it's not true because no one in the church really knows anyone anymore. They come in and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Period. No, like I said, once again, I remember growing up, you go to church, you may end up eating dinner at church every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
You got to know the people that was there.
Oh, yeah.
But over time,
exactly,
that's gone. So, and back then, not knocking the mega churches, but you can't know a mega church as a village. That's a city. You can't know everyone that's in there. You don't know exactly what's going on within that mega church.
And you don't actually, you can't know everyone in the church. You're right. It's too big for you to know everyone in the church. But I think in our smaller faith-based churches, our smaller communities, that's where we have to be a little more cognizant of paying attention to getting to know each other, making known to our brothers and sisters, kids, hey, I got my eye on you. And it's not that I have my eye on you to snitch on you. I have my eye on you because I'm watching for predators. Because the world that we live in today is much different.
No, like that's why I love my Hebraic community. We are a family. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are a family. When I say a family, we are probably closer to one another than we are to our
biological families. Mm-hmm.
When we meet up, we meet up and we eat together, we pray together, we study together. Their kids are like, hey, I got your back.
Mm-hmm.
If I see you out acting up, I'm going to jack you up.
Okay.
If I see that my sister is in need, she has my help.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we are like a village.
Mm-hmm.
We are that close knit. We'll meet up on a Friday or Saturday night or Friday. We meet at 12 o'clock on Saturdays on the Sabbath, and we do our Shabbat, our Bible study, and.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of the few Sabbaths that we're not still together today. Normally, we're all together until 9, 10 o'clock at night.
That's good. That's good.
And that's how we interact. That's how we get to know each other. On a Friday, when we have a Shabbat on a Friday night, we'll meet up at 7, and sometimes we may be there till 12, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're about. We're about family. We're about community. We're about watching one another. We're about teaching and growing together.
Mm-hmm.
And
true,
you don't find that anymore.
Well, I will say this. My exposure to or involvement with the smaller church communities, a lot of them just launching or what have you, they're small like your community. And so the people are more involved with each other. I'm not talking nosy and all up in folk business. You know, I'm just saying they're more involved. They spend that time together, much like what you all do at your community. I've seen that in the much smaller smaller churches. Now, in the larger churches, I would have to say it depends on what auxiliary you are part of or you have any involvement with, such as the community, the church that I am a part of and I'm actively involved with as far as their youth ministry. That's what I'm exposed to. And so I can see that family orientation there. I can see, you know, the pastors and the co-pastors and the other ministers on staff. To tell you the truth, if you didn't really know who they were, you would think that they were the youth because they look young even though they are not. But they are involved in these youth life in and outside of church. That, I can say, is an absolute. So I would have to say it has a lot to do with the individual's exposure. It has a lot to do with that. For those of you that are online, everybody's situation is not an absolute because everyone's situation is different. So basically what Brother Robin and myself are sharing is really based on our own personal experiences, but everyone's experiences are different. Not saying that our experiences is any better than yours, nor yours ours. It's still an area that we have to raise awareness in. We have to. We cannot just send our kids, you know, to church and not know what's going on with them. Because there are predators that sit not just outside the church, but sit in the church. And there are too many articles to back that up.
A lot of times a predator is standing in front of them.
And we don't know who they are. And please, to my listening audience, please don't think that what is being said is you go seeking out predators. You don't need to do that. You just need to be aware of what to look for. That's what you need to be aware of. What does it look like? And it goes back to what Brother Robert was saying. If you are involved in what is going on with your child and in your child's life, then you will see the warning signs. Because today, every child that come home with extra money, not flipping dope. Because now there's sex trafficking. Now there's some pimp that's grooming a young lady. And that's how he does it. He'll give her money. You won't buy her an iPhone? You've given her this Samsung Galaxy? You know what? He'll buy her an iPhone, and he will, and she will lie to you and say that her friend so-and-so gave it to her. And we'll get with the friend and ask the friend to get an agreement with the lie as well. You have to know. As it has been mentioned on this broadcast before, a lot of our youth go through peer pressure. They go through peer recruitment. What if your daughter has a friend that's already in it. And she seeks to recruit your daughter or someone's daughter that you know, and they have low self-esteem. They have no confidence in themselves. Then that makes them a target.
That's why you have to know.
That's why we have to
your
know.
Child.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Because when you said that earlier, that's what I thought about. That's one of the reasons why you need to know. Who's your child's friend? Who is your child hanging with on a regular? Who do they spend a lot more time talking about?
And that's another thing you have to pay attention to is if you know at one time your child wasn't hanging out with people, but all of a sudden now, oh, I got this friend, I have this friend. Okay, we need to meet these friends. You know?
Yes.
Or they start hanging out with one certain type of friends, and then all of a sudden their friend choices change. They come up with stuff with new names. Okay.
Yes.
Now it's time to start checking out these new names and, you know, and what happened to these old friends you were hanging with? What happened with them?
I agree with that. I do. Because when you mentioned that earlier, I was thinking about when I was growing up, if I had, you know, a girlfriend that I was hanging out with and she was always, you know, wearing the short shorts, you know, the Daisy Dukes, or she had on some little short dress, or she in a bra really before time, and most of the time it was padded push-up, the first thing came out of the elderly mouth that I was around in the neighborhood was, that's one of them little fast gals. She don't need to hang around her. She's a little bit too fast. You know what? It's just the verbiage has changed today. They're no longer saying, oh, that's one of them little fast gals. No, that one right there, probably doing something either against her own will or something she has been tricked into doing some kind of way. That's the whole thing about sex trafficking. That's the whole thing about being lured into that lifestyle. And you know what? It also starts with if the child has been molested. And that's the thing you talked about being, you know, took place early in the home or what have you, you know, family members, the uncles and cousins and all the stepdaddies and stuff like that. You know, then that's where a lot of that takes place. But when they are out there in the streets, some guy walks up to him, give him a compliment, they about to fall out. He already know he got her.
And this is for the fathers that have daughters. You got to compliment your daughter. You have to. Because if you compliment your daughter, and someone else come up and compliment her, they'd be like, yeah, my dad tells that out all the time. So another stranger can't come up and tell your daughter something that you're not telling them. Without being offensive. Well, if you tell tell your daughter that you're a beautiful young lady, you're smart, and all that stuff like that, and if another man come and tell her that, she's like, yeah, I know. That means that he's going to have to try to go another avenue that, that would be inappropriate for him to go to. To flatter her. No, he can't come up and say, you know, you look older than, you know, when you start talking about you look older than, you know, 14, 15 years old, then that's going to click something on the head. I need to get away from this dude.
Gotcha. Because everything that you're saying, that means that there has to be strength in that household already.
Right.
There has to be. And if a father is bringing his daughter up like that, you know, that just reminds me. We have a young lady that's was raised by her dad, and he was always hard on her, and he was always, you know, getting on her about little things or whatever. And she just decided one day she wanted to do her own thing. But one thing is for sure, she cannot negate the fact that daddy was the strength in her ear, even though she still chose to do what she wanted to do. But she still had to come full circle and say, yeah, my daddy, he did what was right, you know, in trying to raise me, you know, by himself or what have you. But it just depends, I think, on the upbringing of the child, the household itself, you know, parents being educated so that they can educate their kids, so that when their kids are, you know, they go to church. I'm going back to this because there are too many articles that I have even posted and that are popping up about this. When they go, your child, because your child is in the know, could help another one of their peers, can let somebody know, hey, my friend so-and-so and so, you know, I saw her ride off with this guy, and, you know, he got her dressing all kind of ways and doing all kind of things. He would, that person would not be afraid to speak up.
Right.
And that's another reason why our kids need to know, educate them on what's going on in these streets, because you know what, today is not just about doing drugs anymore.
No, it's not.
Because a lot of these young ladies that have been caught up in trafficking are drugged up so that they can perform what they are hired to perform. And that is the truth. No matter how we want to think that it ain't going to happen, it's happening. So let me do this before we run out of time. I didn't even realize we were this far in. For those of you that would like to follow Strap Chat Radio on the Facebook page, our Facebook page is called Strap Chat. And it's spelled STRAPCHATZ, chats, Z on the end. Send a friend request. I'll accept it because I want you to be in the know of what's going on. I really do. I want you to educate your kids or your kids, so that they don't get sucked into that lifestyle, or if they see a friend going down that path, they will recognize what is potentially about to happen or what they have actually stepped over into. And so, Brother Robert, I want to thank you, sir, again for coming on the show and sharing, you know, your mindset, your input on how we can get the word out there, even in the faith-based communities that we are a part of. I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And to those of you that are on the line, thank you for being a part of the listening audience on this evening. I appreciate you. Look for the next posting of our next show, which would be in 2 weeks. Every other Saturday, we're getting back on track. And that way, you can be in the know of what's going on even before the show actually airs. And hey, so for everyone, I wish you all a great rest of your weekend. Have a good night. Take the opportunity to ponder on some of the things that we have talked about on this evening. Take it to heart. Take it serious. Sit your children down and educate them. There are too many organizations today that you can get some information from, or you can pull something up on the internet and read it for yourself and tell your children about it. And a lot of them have Facebook pages. Send them the link. All righty. So On behalf of Strap Chat Radio, this is Miss Nancy. I appreciate you all. You all have a great evening. Good night.
Good night.
Welcome to the Strap Radio Show, the place where community issues are